Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill, and to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, if you haven't heard what's coming to Rock Hill later this month, then you're going to hear about it now and hear a lot more about it before it gets here. It's called The Wall That Heals. And this is going to be a very, very special moment in Rock Hill's history, and we're going to be talking with a couple of the brainchilds behind this. Is that how I should refer to you, Mitt, as a brainchild? Is that
No.
Mitt Dallaire and John Lyle, who are here with us today to talk about The Wall That Heals. So let's start first with some introductions. Mitt, if you would, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, so let's get the correction of the name, Milt.
It's Milt. Milt, Mitt, what?
Don't worry about it.
All right, I'm going to get it. I had
the
to write.
The name tag I had was.
Yeah, that's why I changed it. I had Milt, and then I saw the name tag, Mitt, and I.
Don't worry about it. No big deal.
All right, Milt.
Okay, born and raised in Troy, New York. Enlisted in the Navy in 1962. Turned down going to college. I had a New York State Region scholarship. I wanted to leave New York.
Can't imagine why.
Yeah.
Same problem then as it is today.
No, but, my parents said, so long, we'll see you later. So I went in the Navy to be an electrician. That, of course, is the wish list. I wound up as an engineering aide, a surveyor, and went with the Seabees. Went through Camp Geiger with Marine Corps, SOI, and that's the School of Infantry. And joined Mobile Construction Battalion 4. Our battalion was responsible for building Da Nang, Chu Lai, and so forth. Khe San as well, it's a well-known base. Came back home in 65, worked for a year, started college. Went on to get my engineering degree. Went in the oil and gas business and lived in Houston most of our lives. My wife put me through school with the GI Bill. And we had an opportunity, both our children were back east, so we came back east. Here I am.
Here we are. Good for you. Glad you're here.
I'm glad I'm here, too.
Yeah. Well, now, all the way from Metro Richburg, we have with us today John Lyle. So, John, sneak up to this microphone a little bit and tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I grew up in Richburg in the farm I live on now. It's been in my family over 100 years. And I always thought I was going to be a farmer, but that didn't quite work out. So when I got out of high school, I went to college and didn't do too well. So didn't take long for Uncle Sam to give me a call. And I wound up in the Army and went to first Fort Jackson, then Fort Gordon, and was trained as an infantry radio operator. And pretty soon turned 19 in Vietnam.
Right.
And was with various infantry and signal units in Vietnam, some Army, some Marine, from Da Nang to the DMZ. Then came home for a little while and was sent back to Vietnam because they needed top secret radio operators, I guess, and I had a top secret clearance, so I was back. And the second time I caught malaria, so spent most of that one in the hospital.
Oh my, jeez.
And got home and went to UNCC, got a psychology degree, and eventually wasn't making enough money and became an electrician.
Now he's making plenty of money.
Yeah, but was an electrician for 35 years. And now I'm living back on the farm I grew up on. I love it.
Are you working the farm?
Just cutting hay.
Just cutting hay. All right. Okay, so we've got two vets here. Both know about Vietnam, probably more than they want to know. But here we are in 2019, and there's something called the Wall That Heals. And anybody who has been to Washington, D.C. to see the Vietnam War Memorial knows how powerful that wall is. And somewhere along the line, years and years ago, somebody said, we need to replicate this and take it on the road for people who can't come to Washington and see. Is that about right?
1982. When the wall was opened in Washington, they decided they wanted to go and deliver a message. And they started the Healing Wall. And the Healing Wall was basically to get to those veterans that aren't able to get to Washington. And so the traveling wall, I want to say it was started in maybe 96, 97, and it's been traveling ever since. And it travels to 34 cities in the year. Thank God we were selected.
Well, we're going to get into that in a minute. But, you know, I've seen there are variations of this traveling wall that heals. There's a smaller version that was in Fort Mill years and years ago. But the one coming here in the latter October is as big as it gets. It's what, about 80%?
It's 80%. This wall is supported and funded by the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Foundation, which is the foundation that supports the wall in Washington. There are other walls, and they're nice walls, they're great walls, that we went after this wall because it carried more weight for the veterans.
And we talk about dimensions. This wall is what?
385 feet long, 9 feet high at its apex. It also comes with an education and visitor center. And that'll be part of the motorcade that will be coming through on Tuesday.
All right. And they transport this, what, in multiple trucks? One big truck.
Yep.
Okay. You know, you had a nice conversation here with John just a minute ago before we went on the air. And it's interesting when you say the name Wall That Heals. And you asked John over here, do you feel that the wall is something that really is healing? The experience of going to the wall and seeing all those names of your comrades who didn't make it back home, does the wall help? I guess that's the bottom line.
I think it does help to see it, and it certainly helps family members. A lot of people can't go to the real wall physically, emotionally, or financially. So this coming around really helps a lot of people. Personally, makes me very sad, but it's necessary.
Yeah, it's even all these years later. I mean, it's been a long, long, long time since the end of the Vietnam War. You just hear the emotions. I mean, just brings it all back like it happened yesterday. So the wall is very emotional. It is healing for family members. And it's also, you know, for people who were not in Vietnam and don't know the horrors of that war, I don't care how stupid you think you are, you stand in front of that wall and see those names and the way that wall is built with that reflective black granite. It's powerful. It is just powerful.
Very, very powerful.
And I guess, you know, in interviewing other veterans, there's a definition. They define it differently. Some look at it as a scar on their military history that needs to be rehabilitated. Some look at it as Bud just said, it's a sad wall. Not a lot of good memories in some cases. For example, we're going to have veterans that are going to be there after hours, and we encourage it, that don't want to be around people. And we're inviting all veterans to come visit the wall. We will have counseling available for veterans that need counseling. So we want to pay attention.
All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty on this. How did this all start? I mean, whose idea was it to go bring this wall to Rock Hill, South Carolina?
Okay, that's where the trouble begins. Okay, so the Quilt of Valor, in May of 2018, I'm sitting in sacristy with 25 other Vietnam vets that were going to receive the Quilt of Valor.
Tell everybody briefly what that is so they don't know.
Okay, so it is, if you're a veteran, basically submit your name to the Quilt of Valor online, and there is a half-hour ceremony where there's some women that make quilts, and they're beautiful quilts, and they're very patriotic, and you are brought up, and they give you a short bio of you and what your service was, and they wrap you in the quilt. It's a very moving experience. I've got to tell you, there was 25 was crying. It was probably one of the most emotional ceremonies I ever participated in. And that's what motivated me to get me started. We sat around a room, we talked prior to going into the church for the ceremony. The common theme, the common denominator was, and I use this, I don't know, maybe I'm stealing this from someone, but the legacy that we have is, I was an 18-year-old kid. I went in, I was a patriot. I loved my country. When I came home, I found out my country didn't love me. And I went to college, and I didn't expect what I faced. And I'm sure, Bud, you did as well. And that is, I'm out in campus, and it was about 50 or 60 students. They wanted to take the flag down and burn it. There was about 8 or 10 of us that were veterans, and we challenged the students. Can't go into the detail, but we come to an agreement they were going to run that flag back up on the pole, and they did. So that was a very negative experience, very emotional, and it was pretty sad in the fact that I'm in my own country and I have to face that kind of treatment. Not good.
Not good. Not good at all. And those stories were virtually everywhere in this country. I told you the story of my brother-in-law who came back, same kind of treatment when he went home to Delaware. I mean, it was just awful. Just absolutely awful. The country, for those who weren't around here in the 60s, was divided right down the middle over this war. It was all over television. There were riots in the streets. We had assassinations of presidents. I mean, it was just an awful time to be living in America. It really was. But here we are all these years later, and we seem to have come full circle. I mean, the appreciation for what our veterans have done for us, particularly here in the South, is over the top. And I think it's very true in most other parts of the country. We don't have that kind of attitude, thank God, in this country. All right, so you get the Quilts of Honor, you get all wrapped up, and you're feeling really good about life, and you decide, I want to get a wall.
What I did is I went home, and I just had a brainstorm. The brainstorm was, somebody mentioned the fact it was a traveling wall. I said, what the heck is that? So I Googled Vietnam Veterans Memorial, and this pops up, Vietnam Veterans Memorial Foundation, the wall that heals. So I picked up the phone and I called Arlington, Virginia, because it's part of the cemetery in Arlington. And I asked, what's this all about? They explained it to me. They said, you can fill out the application in July. The chances of getting it are slim to zero, which in my mind is a heck of a challenge.
That's a good one to have.
I filled out the application in July, and I didn't hear anything for 2 or 3 months. I put together a PowerPoint presentation, sent it up, and I had a telephone conversation with a coordinator. I wanted to show our interest from a community perspective, how important it was to get the wall in. December 7th, I'm in my
big
office.
Day.
Real good day. And I've read your book, so I know I've got a lot of passion there. So I get the phone call. My wife says, hey, there's a phone call from Washington here. And I picked up the phone, and young lady says, oh, by the way, Mr. Dallaire. Yes, ma'am. You have the honor of hosting a wall. I went, holy crap. I started crying. My wife says, what are you crying about? I says, we got the wall.
So this is December of 2018.
Yeah.
So then you say, what do I do now?
Well, what we did, the good news was I talked to John Taylor, Dave Linder, talked to Alan Miller, mm-hmm. and I talked to the American Legion and the VFW, visit with the chief of police, the fire department, the VA, little colonel, Melinda Woodhurst. And I says, it's hit the
He
fan.
Didn't really say that, Melinda. I said, remember, she's a colonel.
Yes, I know. So, at any rate, I said to everybody, it's hit the fan. Guess what? We got the wall.
So had you talked to this group before this?
I did. I set the ball rolling. I said,
before you sent the application, had you talked to anybody before?
I didn't want to get my foot shot off. That must be my engineering background. I said, I got to put this together and make sense of it.
All right, so you've got the wall, and they told you the dates that you're going to have the wall.
They weren't sure.
But we're sure now.
And they Yeah. So about April, we got the dates confirmed, which is basically arriving October 22nd. And that's really the day we're going to kick off the motorcade.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. So it's here from the 22nd through the
27th.
27th.
Sunday.
Okay. All right. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break and remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Now, you don't know a thing about this, John, because you didn't even know the station existed until today, but we broadcast live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. We prepare fresh subs and salads 7 days a week right before your eyes. There's a magical way we do it. It's right here in these white letters, and we all say it together at the count of three. One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Now available from Founders Federal Credit Union, Edge Up. Edge Up is the newest and easiest way to fund Founders Loyalty Select, our highest yield savings account. Enroll in Edge Up today, and any purchases made with your Founders debit card may qualify for daily Edge Up transfers. Log in to Founders online to enroll today. Relax, we're giving you an edge on your savings. Account restrictions apply, federally insured by NCUA.
Good Pharmacy, taking care of families for four generations.
This is pharmacist Kia Hicklin. We have six pharmacists that are knowledgeable, friendly, and ready to get to know your family and their needs.
My mom loves Good Pharmacy.
Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue, Rock Hill.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at AndersonGriggs.com.
On October 24th, Piedmont Medical Center goes pink, a women's health event for our community. PMC Goes Pink is an evening of education and fun for women that's completely free. This educational ladies' night out in the hospital's Women's Tower Auditorium features local vendors, hors d'oeuvres, and drinks, a free gift, and health talks from women's health professionals. To register, go online to mypmc.com/breastcancerevent. That's mypmc.com/breastcancerevent.
Slice, slice, slice! Garden, garden, garden!
It's the only way that Substation 2 makes fresh subs and salads. All their meats, cheeses, and vegetables are sliced fresh right before your eyes. It's no wonder people keep coming back to Substation 2.
Slice, slice, slice! Garden, garden, garden!
Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax. You're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Milt Dallaire and John Lyle are with us today talking about the wall that heals. And, of course, it's a replica of the big Vietnam War Memorial that sits in Washington, D.C. This one's just about as big. The 80% replica is 9 feet tall, 385 feet long, and it's going to be here complete with an education center from the 22nd of October through the 27th. Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty here, Milt. It arrives on the 22nd. What's going to happen then?
Okay, so it arrives on the 22nd. There is a motorcade escort that day. It's going to kick off at 2:20 from York, and that'll consist of the Rolling Thunder, Patriot Guard, the Legion Riders, VFW, and so forth. We're expecting over 100 bikes.
I'll bet. So I'll be surprised it's not more than that.
It'll basically be an hour run. And it'll come in past down, let's see, Route 5.
Yep.
And then it'll go over down to the American Legion Post, do a U-turn, come around, go over Cherry Road, up to the BMX. And then we'll have a ceremony, short ceremony, for the participants up at the BMX track.
Okay. Now, this we're going to attempt, I think this will work, we're going to attempt to Facebook that trip live from York down to the BMX, but you also told me somebody's going to be doing some kind of a drone feed as well.
Yep, we have a veteran who has volunteered his time, and he's got the York police drone. He's got his own drone. I think we're going to have three drones in the air. So they're going to basically pick up at downtown York and follow the procession all the way up to
it's going
to
be
to
something.
The
BMX. That'd be great.
BMX track.
All right. You going to be riding your bike, John?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. What kind of bike do you have?
Harley Road King.
Good. That's what I got. All right. So we get to the BMX Center, and you're going to have a ceremony there. And I guess at that point, the crew that comes with the wall will start to set it up.
Actually, we start setting up the wall at 8:30 the next day.
8:30 the next day, the 23rd. Okay.
Yes.
And it's going to be set up in the field that is adjacent to the BMX?
Yes. If you look, it will be the soccer fields immediately to the right if you're facing the BMX.
Right.
And that's where we're going to set up the wall. Like I said, it's going to be 390 feet by, and it's going to be at I forget what the angle is, but it's an obtuse angle. I know that.
Yeah.
And it takes about 4 hours to put the wall up.
I bet it does. All right. So you set it up at 8:30, and it's ready to go by early afternoon. Is that when it's going to be open to the public?
We'll have training. We have over 100 volunteers. So we're going to start training volunteers. We have basically scheduled 9 to 11, 24 hours a day of volunteers, mostly veterans, that are going to basically escort anybody that wants to see the wall, go through the trailer and view the wall and some of the material there. In the trailer, you're going to have two TV large screens. One is going to be the 80 plus that were killed in action from our community, and that would be York, Lancaster, Chester, and I forgot the Lancaster, Chester,
Lancaster, Chester,
anyway,
York.
York, that's right. And so we're going to have representation of all those that were killed in action. And then we're going to have some memorabilia off to the right of that. On the backside will be the memorabilia and the history of Vietnam from 1955 to 1974.
Okay. Now the wall, so you're going to be able to come and visit the wall basically 24 hours a day?
Yes.
Over this period of time?
That's correct.
And I understand that where the wall is going to be in that field, that is going to be treated as sacred ground.
Absolutely.
And there's not going to be any foolishness going on around there. It's going to be We're going to have military presence there. It's going to be set up the way it needs to be set up.
It's a large graveyard of veterans killed in action. And it is a solemn. Once you go 20 feet near that wall, there's no food, no beverages, no talking. So that's the way the wall is going to be treated, just like it would be in Washington, D.C.
Good, as it should be. And as you say, there are going to be provisions made for veterans and their families who want to come to the wall that don't want to be around a whole bunch of people. They just want to have some one-on-one time with that wall.
That's correct.
All right. Now, Saturday, there's going to be a big ceremony, so tell me about that one.
All right. So I'm looking at the itinerary right now. It's pretty expansive. It's about an hour and a half. Alan Miller, one of your compatriots, is going to be the master of ceremonies.
Yeah. Know him well.
Being a Vietnam vet, I'm going to have a few words. I mean, very few words. Then we got basically the American Legion is going to post the colors. We're going to basically sing the national anthem. We got the Pledge of Allegiance. We got two young adults from the JROTC that are going to do that. We've got Chaplain Captain Linda Mertala, who's going to basically do the invocation, and she's also going to do the benediction. The big key is going to be Lieutenant General Paul E. Blackwell.
Who is?
Oh, boy. I thought I've met heroes, okay? He's a hero. I think he had 32 or 34 years. A Clemson grad. I got to make sure I mention Clemson. and he's got two tours in Vietnam, combat. He's got a Purple Heart, Silver Star, pretty well decorated. He's going to be the keynote speaker. Really looking forward. I've met him a couple of times, and he's a really outstanding gentleman. Next, we're going to have, Rolling Thunder is going to do the Missing Man table ceremony. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to retire to colors. Taps will be played every night. And we'll have the introduction to the pinning ceremony for the commemoration, the Vietnam medal that will be given out to the vets.
So every one of the Vietnam vets who is there is going to be pinned by the...
Major General James Jackson, who is the director of the program.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're running out of time here. Thanks to you and your committee, all of them. I don't know whether they have names. I want to thank your sponsors as well. Very quickly, go ahead.
I got one special sponsor I got to thank.
Thank them all.
Yeah, I do. But, I mean, OTS and WRHI, your organization have done an outstanding job in supporting this effort. So I personally want to thank you.
Let me run through the rest of them. Bernard and Ackerman, CPA, Williams and Fudge, Wells Fargo, The Pump House, Springs Closed Foundation, ACE, Elastomer Corporation, McDonald's, Founders, the City of Rock Hill, Rock Hill Parks Foundation, and, of course, the OTS Media Group. Thank you, Milt. Thank you, John, for your service to our country. Thank you for what you're doing for all of us right now by bringing this wall that heals to our community. It's going to be something. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, John, you got a chance to redeem yourself now. Let's not mess this up. Fresh subs and salads prepared right before your eyes 7 days a week here at Substation 2. At the count of three, how we doing? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. I got to give you some speaking lessons. Back. See you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.